Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, tennis fans. Welcome to the Yellow Ball Network. This is where you'll find all your tennis news. This is your host, Coach Denise, exploring tennis lessons with our mentors. Tennis is a wonderful sport, which can be the vehicle that can take you through life's journey. And our mentors will provide the roadmap for that journey. Our format is a little different than most shows, as I do just interviewing great mentors. And when you have blessed to have the mentors on that I've had for the last 3 years, you can see why I don't have to do much talking after I get started. Usually on the first Thursday of the month, we have Alan Fox on. On the second Thursday of the month, we have Chuck Greasy on. On the third Thursday of the month, we have Dr. John Murray. And on the fourth Thursday, we have either Coach Scott Williams or Energy Coach Linda LeClaire. And on those special, every other month, usually we have Linda on. Those special times, though, like today, we have her husband joining her today, Dr. Bryce Young. So I think we have a special show coming up for you. It's always special for me to talk to them. I enjoy talking with them so much. And some of the information going on Facebook now, I think kind of leads right into today's topic, really. But these are the people you will normally have. I should say next week, the third Thursday, I always bring somebody else in on those Thursdays when that happens. Unfortunately, I have minor surgery that was moved 2 days, and the 2 days, unfortunately, moved it into next Thursday. So I get dumb enough sometimes on these broadcasts, but I don't want to come on the same day, although I should be out of the hospital the same day. So we won't have no broadcast next week, but we'll be joined again the week after with Alan Fox. I'd like to thank CEO of the network, the Yellow Ball Network, for being part of this here for so long. And if you haven't joined Coach Weber on his Facebook site, then quite frankly, you're missing out on something. And of course, the nice thing about Blog Talk Radio is you can tell your friends about it, because if you don't listen live, then you can listen at any time you want. I listen to Coach Creasy's American Tennis broadcast every week, but it's not always on Wednesday. Matter of fact, very few times is it on Wednesday afternoon. It's usually 6 or 7 in the morning or 9 or 10 o'clock at night, not at noon. But that's the great thing about Blog Talk Radio, is you tell your friends to listen in, and we'll post it on all the coaching sites that we belong to. And we've been blessed to have 3 years of exciting broadcasts. I think it's going to continue to be, the Almighty willing, simply because you seem to enjoy it. I always tell the people, I don't take live broadcast on the network because I'm slow getting into the 21st century, but I had a bad incident one time, but I do have you respect your views. You're going to hear my views. I, like everybody else, can be biased at times, But I'm going to give you the truth the way I perceive the truth to be. But I respect your view, and I do want to hear your view. And as long as it's we could talk in a civil tone to each other, and we could express ideas and not make derogatory remarks, you might be surprised. You might either hear your views on this broadcast, or it wouldn't be the first time I posted them in one of my articles in Florida Tennis Magazine. So I do think we don't have enough open discussion in the country, and you get my view, and I do listen to your view too. I think we have our mentors on the phone today. Doctor, are you there?
Yes,
Linda,
sir, John,
are you there?
Yes, I'm here as well. Hello.
Hello. Well, let me just introduce you. I just wanted to tell our broadcast a little bit something about him. I think most of, you know, all of our mentors, as you noticed, all have written books or papers, and they contribute. And the other thing is they all still contribute today. And our two guests today are no different. Matter of fact, both Dr. Young's book and Linda LeClaire's books are part of the books that I placed on our certification program for the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association when I was coaching high school and executive director of that organization. A lot of people said I had a lot of nerve posting, putting a program, but it seems like other states are following it, and I just didn't see no sense in trying to reinvent the wheel. I have biases like everybody else, and for years I've given books out to my players when they were working with me and Linda LeClaire's books and Bryce Young books were among those books. And, of course, we include other books on those certification programs. We have Timothy Gallery's, you know, The Inner Game of Tennis, all other books of our mentors, regular mentors are on there, Dan Coyle's. I can't name them all right now, but they're not everyone that's in my library is not on the reading list, but it's important that we share, but it's important that we learn from the past, and that's through reading. I think most of you know of the program in Hilton Head, your mental coach, and quite frankly, I think it's the best team, husband and wife team in the business. But I've been blessed to use their material over a lot of years. Matter of fact, I had found something. I'm going to ask you a question if this sounds familiar. I had a phone call from somebody that wanted to do my program that I use for the high schools. We have player-parent meetings 3 months in a row prior to that, and one of the handouts, and giving him the information, I found a program. And tell me if this sounds familiar to you. I told you all a long time ago I'm the biggest thief in the world. This is something that I have stolen. This is with the old John Denny School of Tennis Let program, 10 daily action tips. I was always one for handing out stuff, and I did it on a daily basis. And tell or show someone that you love them. Number two, praise someone you go to school or live with. Three, read a book or listen to a tape that stimulates thought. Increase my skills, but be patient. Do something for good health. Be closer to your goals than when you woke up in the morning. Do anything tough and challenging to build discipline. Do something for pure joy of it. Take time to reflect on the lessons of the day and plan another successful day. I think all but one of them, I have a note when I was going through there from the two of you where I got this from. All of one of them, but truthfully, I think it was the 10th one, but I don't remember which one it is. I don't know if you do. But it's just one of the many things that I just want to thank you for.
Oh. Well, Coach Denise, coming from a Hall of Famer, that's high praise. And we appreciate that. And I was smiling. You'll hear us laughing with you at times because I remember Craig Tiley, the coach who had taken Illinois to an NC2A team title before Tennis Australia hired him. And he was speaking at the PTR International Symposium one year and was nice enough to quote me. And he said, "You know my slogan, Doc, steal, baby, steal." So I think all of us, if we see something good that's going to help other people, we give each other permission to do that as often as we can, because we're on this earth to help each other. And I was listening and taking in everything you just shared, Coach Denise, because what came to me was, if you could do the 10 things that you just noted for us, for your listening audience, on a daily basis, those would become habits, and that is a life well lived. So you've done a terrific job of putting those things in front of your listeners, but also all those young people whose lives you've touched.
Well, I think I've been blessed to know you and the other people, and all I do is now I'm spending less time on the courts. My time on the courts are now limited to mornings. There's still some people that think an old coach has something to offer, but I remind everybody there's a difference between a hitting partner and a coach. So be careful what you wish for. Well, you know, it's and of course the writing for Florida Tennis Magazine, which I have come to enjoy. And it's interesting because I was thinking of my last article issue in the last issue of Florida Tennis. I wrote about an old basketball coach perspective on tennis coaching. And, of course, that's where I spent many years. And the three people that were instrumental in helping me take my basketball philosophy. And I had recently some people talk about the three-point game and the change. And I had I got a call the other night saying, well, thank God tennis don't have referees watching a basketball game. So there is something. But I couldn't help but remember the confidence factor, who I thought was one of the great coaches in the country, Coach Bobby Kremins. And I remember that you two actually worked for his. He said you were the mental part of his team there. Would you like to talk? Am I off base with my similarities between basketball and tennis?
No, there's definitely some analogies. And in fact, there's even a crossover at times. I remember when I first started in sports psychology coming out of the University of Virginia, I had been an academic advisor for the University of Virginia's basketball team, men's and women's. And I had a pro who was in the NBA say, "Oh, man, Doc," he said, "every off day we get, we're at the indoor courts playing tennis." And he says, "You know what? It's tough to get a lob over."
I was talking to Ashley Hobson recently, and him and Chuck Greasy and, forgive me, are doing this 20% the last 20%, which is fantastic,
right.
And one of them is going to be Inspiration Academy. And I said to him, I said, you know, you talked about the doctor and how great he was in helping you, and how come you don't have him in? And he said that, in talking to him, he says, the same problem that I've had over the years trying to get Linda and you at the high school coaches association meeting when I was running them at the workshops, you were always someplace else. And he says, it's the same way. He said, believe me, I'd have them here. So your influence, the two of you, I think are all over. We have one of the things going on now. In fact, somebody commented, I just responded the last couple of days on a great coaching site on the Facebook, and they're talking about motivation and how do you activate confidence. And somebody says, but my comment was too simple, and it probably is. I'm a simple individual, but you have to know one of the reasons I ran the parent-player meetings. You got to, you know somebody and love them, and you've got to get to. And it's hard. I think young people, especially, it's hard for them to give of themselves. And if you're not going to give of yourself, you're not going to get them to give it. So, if you don't know someone, how do you motivate them? But I think, Linda, am I wrong? Are traps the same way? I mean, are those energy traps something? Can you fix them?
Yeah.
I mean, recognizing them, can you recognize them without knowing the person?
Oh, Coach, I think we should let Linda give your listeners a thumbnail sketch, because this is incredibly important for anybody who plays tennis or is an athlete. Linda?
Yeah, you were talking about the crossover with basketball too, and I think one of the most important parts of the work that we did with Coach Kremen was teaching him and the team about the energy trap, and working with Coach Kremen and helping him to understand his own energy trap, and then the energy trap of each of the players, because once you understand what each player's trap is, then you can communicate with them from a different level, because you'll know what fear they are in and what is really causing the problem. So often we see players competing and what they're doing isn't working. And it's really obvious to everyone, you know, that what they're doing isn't working. And we ask, well, why don't they do something different? Why aren't they changing their strategy? Why don't they incorporate something else into their game? And one of the main reason is because of energy traps. Energy traps are the foundation of what holds us back from achieving our goals. And everyone, I've never met anyone who does not have a primary and a secondary energy trap. I've met people that have really worked on them and in order to avoid falling into the trap, but they still have to, but they still have it and they still have to be aware of it. So in understanding energy traps, the first thing is to know is that an energy trap is based on fear. So when you are in the trap, you are in fear. And these fears come up when we are close to achieving a goal, or when we are in a situation where it's very important to us. For some reason, we have a feeling that what is going on is very important. And that in itself makes us vulnerable to going into the energy trap, which in my conversation with God 30 years ago, or whenever it was when I wrote Yes, God Speaks to Women Too, what I came to understand was that we were brought into this world, and it could have been just everything perfect for us with no challenges. but in God's all-knowingness, knew that we would love to have a challenge, that if things were too easy, we'd get bored. And so I think that's where these energy traps come in, is to challenge us really to either come from to come from love in everything that we're doing, basically, and to stay out of fear. And so just understanding what the energy traps are alone helps us to stay out of the trap.
And
maybe
maybe
you should explain, you know, what they are to the audience, so give them a heads up and why they need to talk to somebody like you and Bryce.
Well, for starters, everything is energy. Everything in an athlete or a tennis player is energy. And as Linda's written in the confidence factor, basically your energy can be one of three places,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Right.
And it can be stuck, and we've all seen athletes when their energy's stuck and they look really tight. It can be scattered, and that's when balls start spraying all over the court. Or it can be basically flowing and in balance, correct?
Correct.
And that's where we want it to be. And so I'm going to let Linda maybe give you a thumbnail sketch on the energy traps, and to get more information and to stay in touch with us, simply go to our website, yourmentalcoach.com, and you can always get in touch with us and get our books. But Linda, would you like to maybe follow up on Coach Denise's question on what some specific energy traps are that athletes fall into?
Yeah.
You were touching on one of them just now.
Yeah. It was like I want to jump in the middle of it, but we need to really start at the beginning. And so what I'll do is just very briefly describe each of the energy traps. And they're not in any special order, like one is worse or better than another. It's just the way I'm going to give them to you. But the first one is arrogance. And remember, they're all based on fear. So the definition of arrogance in this study is the fear of being judged. Okay? So there's a positive and a negative side. When you're in the positive side of this energy, then you're in love energy, and things are flowing, and your energy is flowing and in balance. So there's a positive side and a negative, and the negative is when you're in fear. Now the positive side of arrogance is a strong sense of confidence and a sense of really knowing who you are. There's a lot of leadership energy with this, with arrogance in the positive pole. But when it goes into the negative pole, when the fear of being judged gets triggered, then it really becomes very disrespectful. It becomes, sometimes it actually looks like the traditional meaning of arrogance. Somebody who thinks they're better than someone else. And so it can, sometimes it can manifest as, I'm okay, you're not okay. But it can also manifest as, you're okay and I'm not okay. So it can also go back at the person themselves. In tennis matches, this is where you see the prima donna, the sulking, the drama out there. Lots of hand movements, lots of sometimes lots of loud language and outbursts when they're in fear. I'll name them all, and then we'll go back and we'll give you examples. And we want to talk about some of the players that everybody knows and talk about their energy traps to help you understand even better. So the next one is self-deprecation. And self-deprecation is the fear of not being good enough. And in the positive side, these people have a really deep sense of who they are. They're more humble. So their confidence is a quieter confidence. They're they're not going to be real showy. They're going to they'll be the person who will, you know, you'll think, oh, they don't have a chance. But they'll be working and doing their plan and slowly winning the match and surprising people because it wasn't really in your face kind of energy. But in the on the negative side, when they're in the trap, in the fear, then they're not believing in themselves. They feel like they're not good enough. And they actually believe that in that moment. When they're in that fear, even though everybody around them can be telling them, oh, you're so good, you know, you can do this, they're feeling like they're not good enough. They're not worthy, that they can't do something. So that's self-deprecation. The third one is impatience, and that's the fear of not having enough time or of missing out or of running out of time. And in the positive side, these are people who actually, when they're not in fear, are extremely patient. They're also very good at cutting through things, and, you know, they can just, like, get things done because they know what doesn't really need to be done, and they know the essence of what has to be done, and so they get things done quickly and they can achieve things quickly. However, when they're in the negative pole, when they're in the fear, which is the trap, then they have an anxious feeling and they start rushing, and they don't take enough time to do what they actually need to do to accomplish what they want to accomplish. They're rushing, they feel anxious, and they can get real judgmental also when they're in the fear or in the trap. And then the next one is called martyrdom, and that's the fear of being a victim. And in the positive pole, these people will give you the shirt off their back. They're very generous, and they're always there. If a coach asks somebody who, you know, for help on the team, they'll be the first one to volunteer. So, you know, in their positive pole, they're just these lovely people. But when they go into the fear in the negative pole, then they're feeling like it's always worse for me, that no matter what I do, things don't work out. And they really believe when they're in that fear that whatever it is that they're thinking is causing the problem is worse for them than for anybody else. Like, for instance, if it were windy out and you were playing tennis, they would think that the wind was against them and not have any realization at all that their opponent has the same wind to deal with.
Right.
Yeah, and then the last one we're going to talk about today is stubbornness, and this is the fear of change. Now, in the positive pole, it's determination. It's loyalty. These people, when they say they're going to do something, you know you can count on it, they're going to do it. When it gets into the fear, though, the negative side, then it actually is stubbornness, you know, that kind of their stubborn as a mule kind of thing. They'll keep doing something that actually isn't working, but they'll keep doing it out of stubbornness. And I know I can do this. And they'll just really dig themselves deeper and deeper into a hole because they won't accept change, doing something differently. All right, so that's a quick summary of them.
Uh-huh.
But let's go into some examples of. Would that help, John, if we gave some examples of?
No, I think that's good. Let me start with an example by Ken, and this is actually from Bobby, because she's just had eye surgery, cataracts done. So the last couple of weeks, I've been driving her all over the stores. And when we get to the store, she says, you stay out here and make some phone calls. Because she says, remember the energy traps. We all know where yours are, and mine is impatient. And so she said, make yourself useful. And I have a phone in the car. She said, make some phone calls, but don't aggravate the poor people in there. And it's just, and I can listen to lectures all day long. Like, you know, I love sitting and listening to lectures. But for some reason, when I get in a store, I'm a different person.
So that's where your challenge is. And have you been?
I'm just afraid I don't have enough years, baby. I say I've gotten worse just in the last couple of years, but she says that's not true.
Well, do you have a story you want to tell us?
Coach, you might. I think your listeners might find this interesting. When Linda was first doing the research for the Confidence Factor and Yes, God Speaks to Women Too, we were speaking at the Intercollegiate Tennis Coaches, the College Coaches National Convention, and Patrick McEnroe had just flown in as Davis Cup captain from Spain, where we had to play Spain on slow red clay, which you can imagine is not a great advantage for the United States in most years.
Right.
And in sharing the energy traps, just as we are with your audience today, he said, wow. He said, I've got to share this story with you. And I want to share it because I have incredible respect for Andy Roddick and the commitment he made to our Davis Cup team over all the years. Again, energy traps can be positive and negative. When Andy was in the positive pole of his stubbornness, he would hang in there forever to win a match, and it's an incredible quality for any of us. However, in this case, what was happening was he was playing the Dow, slow red clay. I mean, it felt like being at a bullfight, according to Patrick McEnroe, and he said that every time Andy hit a really good serve, Nadal would simply clear the net by several feet, pin him behind the baseline, and then it would be a ground stroke exchange, which in most cases Nadal was going to win. So as they got farther into the match, on one of the changeovers, Patrick McEnroe said to Andy, he said, you know, Andy, he said, He's so dialed in on that right now. Your serve is still really working. He said, if you could kick it high to the backhand and come.
Oops, you lost him. I don't know what happened. Hopefully he'll call back in. We did lose him, but I do want to hear the rest of the story with Patrick McEnroe. I think we have him back on now. Let's see.
You do have.
You there?
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
We lost.
Okay.
Patrick McEnroe was talking to Andy Roddick. We lost you for some reason, but you're back on now. Go ahead with the story.
No problem, because this is the key part of the story, and that is that Patrick thought, look, if you can kick the ball high to the backhand on Nadal, since he's clearing the net by so much, simply come in and make a volley, and you're going to take everything away from him. You won't have to hit 20, 30, 40 ball rallies behind the baseline with him, and it's really going to help you. Well, by this stage of the match, with stubbornness is the fear of change. And according to Patrick, Andy jumped up to go out and serve, kicked a high ball to Nadal's backhand, got a sitter on top of the net, and slammed it in the bottom of the net and turned around to Patrick and said, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life. and I mean, all of us, you know, Andy has such a great sense of humor. He'd probably laugh at it too. Basically what he was saying was, I don't want to do this. And
right.
I don't want to change what I'm doing. And so that's one of the things that happens to all of us when we go into the negative pole.
Yeah. Well, we know. I don't know why. Hopefully, but we are having some problem right now. But knowing it's important to know the energy traps, and because if you do know the energy traps, then at least you know why you're doing it. So I think that's the important thing of knowing the energy traps. Anyway, I think we have them back on now, so you can
hear the professional. We're with you.
Okay. I don't know why, but I've lost you a couple times.
Right. So sorry for that. So I think what Linda's really raising awareness on is you want to be able to manage your energy well, therefore you want to be aware of what affects your energy.
Yeah. I don't know if you watched the finals at Indian Wells with Del Potro and Federer on Sunday.
I did after because I love Federer and Venus Williams. I truthfully never watch them live because I'm too involved in them. So I just like the two of them. So I always tape it and I watch it. Sometimes just like I did that, just minutes after my wife had the thing, I went in and she said, and I knew who won because she told me, she said, "You'll be disappointed." But I can enjoy it then. I can analyze it then. But if I watch it live, I become a different person with those two. And they're probably the only two of them. In basketball, I can watch. I love the tournaments, and I watch it, and it doesn't matter who plays.
Okay. Well, I loved watching it because it was a great example of two players falling into their energy traps. Both Federer and Del Potro were at different times caught in their traps. And
right.
At the beginning of the match, I could tell right away that Federer was going to be in trouble that day because one of his energy traps is impatience. And when he goes into that trap, it's really vivid. You can see it because normally he's so calm and good humored, but when he's in the negative side of impatience, his frustration and you just feel like he's out of sorts. There's something off with him, and what it is that he has for whatever reason fallen into impatience, and that's what happened in the match with him. And you could see how it would play out where normally shots that he makes, how many thousands of times he's made the shot, but he'll have unforced errors, he'll rush shots. If you slow it down, you can see that he's not keeping his head down. He's rushing his shot by lifting his head. And he's also getting his energy is scattered. Usually when we are in the trap of impatience, our energy is scattered. So we also saw him talking to the umpire, being upset with things that were going on, and very un-Federer-like, okay? But it's just, in a close match and in that kind of environment, that's all it takes. That's going to cause him to have unforced errors, even double faults in the tiebreak. And the other interesting part was Del Potro was in martyrdom. And Del Potro, he's this gentle giant. So normally we see this, not the way he hits the ball, but personality. He's such a nice guy, but he was he fell into the negative pole of martyrdom, where how it came out was everyone's against me, and so he got he got stuck in that the umpire is not doing enough to stop the fans from cheering for Federer. And whatever, you know, they were doing that was really maybe beyond what is good sportsmanship for fans. But so he was arguing with the umpire as well, from the perspective of, you know, nobody is for me, everybody's against me, and that affected his energy. So for me watching that, it was who's going to be able to get out of their trap long enough to put together enough points to win this match. Because going down to that third set, it was going to be, you know, it was kind of up in the air who's going to do it. Consequently, it wasn't the most beautiful match, you know, shot-wise.
Right.
But tension and energy-wise and observing what can happen to people when they're in the trap and learning from it, it was awesome. Because probably impatience even more than martyrdom do I see in athletes and how it affects them in competition. Because going into impatient, when we start rushing in sports, it can turn to frustration quite easily, and matches can get out of hand before we know what's happened. But that was it was a fun one. Usually, we talked about Federer and how long it took him to change his backhand. You know, I mean, once Nadal came on and started attacking his backhand, that was the time for him to consider. Well, that was how many years ago, and it took him. I mean, it took him years. What was it, a year ago or 2 years ago now, where he finally changed his backhand. And some people talk about it now, like, you know, that he's probably better than he ever has been. But the stubbornness, the fear of change, was also something that was holding Federer back with changing something in his game. Because, of course, it had gotten him to where he was, so it's even harder for him to think, why change? Why change a good plan here? But as we see, once he opened to it, it really added a new dimension to this game that we are enjoying immensely right now. So the understanding the energy traps and recognizing how they are affecting you and in life, how they're affecting, you know, like you talked about, you and Bobby being aware of the energy traps and helping each other with them, but can really make a difference in our relationships with other people. Because for instance, with the impatience is what's going to cause the real problem. If you get into being impatient, then you get frustrated and you probably start getting angry and who knows where you go with, you know, once you start going down that track. It's probably not pretty, which I'm glad that you two are working on that. But I know that for myself too, because impatience is one of my energy traps. And being able to stop myself from going into the trap and staying in the positive pole of patience has made a huge difference in my life. I mean, you start feeling a peace in your life because you actually have so much more control of your energy and what you're doing and your responses, instead of reacting to situations from that fear that is your challenge in life.
Yeah, it makes sense when you say that. You know, one of the questions that has been in discussion a lot lately, and I know most of your work in sports psychology, most of your work is not done at a match, or it's done prior, getting people ready, getting people understanding. But one of the big topics that's going on now is coaching. Should coaching be in the men's side, as like it is on the women's side? it appears as though many of the women think it's great and should be, and I don't know if it's masculinity or what it is that some of the men's out now, which that's the way the game is, and, you know, if you can't handle that. But can, if you know somebody and you're working with them, then energy, what would your view, both of you, and maybe do you have separate views? Do you think coaching, number two questions maybe, do you think coaching on the men's side and the pros is, could would be relevant? And number two, during that period of time, can you do anything about an energy trap that you see your players in?
Oh my gosh, yes. If you, like, if, when I was coaching tennis, I could help my players get out of their trap when they felt, when they went into it. And I can tell you a story of someone who was in self-deprecation, the fear of not being good enough. This one player, and she was one of the best players on our team, and we were playing a dual match, and I looked out, and the doubles point was going on, the doubles play, and I saw she was crying. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what, you know, what's going on there? And, of course, doubles go so fast, and they lost their doubles match, and I had intended to talk to her before the single started, but I got waylaid and didn't get a chance. And the next thing I knew, she was out playing her singles match, still crying, still upset, and obviously losing the match quite badly. And by the time I was able to get out there, she had already lost the first set and was starting in the second set. And I went up to her and, you know, I'm walking across the court, you know, I was like, okay, what am I going to say to her, you know? And I know she's in her energy trap. I know that she's in self-deprecation. That when people get into self-deprecation, it's very wounding. It's that feeling of not being good enough, not being worthy. It really hurts. I mean, it like hits you to your core when you're in that fear, more so than some of the other ones. It definitely doesn't produce anger or frustration. It's just a heavy, awful feeling, and that's where she was. So I go out to her, and, you know, and my intention is I know I need to help her change her energy and get back into love energy and out of her trap. So I went up to her, and the first thing I said to her was, do you know what a mantra is? And she looks at me, I mean, just totally like, what are you talking about, you know? because it was so out of, you know, it was, to her, it was, you know, not at all in sync with what she was doing. But so I say, well, it's just like a phrase that you repeat over and over again to keep your mind quiet. And she's listening, but she's trying not to cry as she's listening. And I said, you know, do you know what a good mantra for you would be? And she responds with, because she knows me and we've done a lot of work together, and she says, have fun. And I'm always saying fun is this high energy frequency, and if you have fun, that you're going to play better. And I looked at her and I said, I'm really sorry, Susie, but today there's no way you're going to have fun. She's looking at, okay, so now I really have her attention. She is, you know, really, her focus has gotten off of whatever she had been focused on as far as her not being worthy or good enough. And I said, all I want you to do, think today when you're playing is, I can do this. So I want you to go up to the line and, you know, as soon as the ball goes out of play, just repeat over and over again, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. So being a good athlete and a good team member, she starts doing that. She goes back. She has a long game where she's serving. She wins the serve and is starting to feel a little better. And slowly she starts working back in and ends up winning the second set. So she's sitting down and I go to change the cards, the scorecards, and I hear the other players saying, "I can't do this. I don't know what's going on. I can't do this." And I'm like, happy as can be, because I'm hearing the other player, the opponent, saying, "I can't do this." And my player over here is saying, "I can do this. I can do this. I can do this." So who are you going to bet on if you were a betting man, John?
I can do this.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yes.
So she went back and she did win the match. And the thing is that all she did was change from the negative pole, which is, "I can't do this." That's what she's thinking at so many levels. And by first getting her focus off of what her concern was, her fear, and then telling her the thought that would change her energy. And that's exactly what happened. And so often it's that a coach can do that with a player. Once they understand energy traps, it's even easier. Like if somebody if Federer was being coached by me during that match on Sunday, what I would have said to him was, "Okay, take a deep breath. You've just gone into impatience. So just slow down." And then I would give him one thing to do that he has 100% control over. And that
so
could
I'm
be something
assuming.
Like, pardon me?
I said, so I'm assuming then that you do agree that coaching on the men's side would be relevant.
Well, I know it would be helpful, but there's also a part of me that loves that the players out there by themselves. So I'm really torn, you know. I like coaching, and I like that element because it adds another element to it or another dynamic. But I also like having the person have to figure that out themselves, you know. So it's a draw for me. I mean, it obviously it could help. I definitely.
And how about Bryce? What is his feeling on it?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm torn as well, and I think you'd have to know how often a coach could take the court, if at all, because the beauty of the sport is when you prepare the athlete is to see if they can do the problem solving, and so I see both ends of it. There's kind of a practical end of it too, and that is that only to a very high level can most players even afford a coach.
Yeah, good point.
And so it may be a bit of a disadvantage if somebody has a well-paid coach because they've done really well in the past and an up-and-comer or a veteran who doesn't have a lot of reserves can't have a coach there to help him. I think Linda is correct here, Coach, in that very quickly, the coach and the player, when they're in sync and there's not too much ego involved on the part of the player being concerned about a coach coming out there, I think you could make adjustments. We see it, there's your basketball analogy. We see it in basketball, so I think it would be possible in tennis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think I have mixed feelings too, and it's I do see there could be a part of me I see, but the part of it like having the work that's done before. I preach so many years that you know it's your preparation that's going to come out in the game. Well, that's really is part of your preparation. So I can see both sides, too. So it's going to be one of those things where I guess we're going to keep discussing on Facebook, and I do encourage that. I always tell the people, let's, you know, get the questions out there, let's discuss them, and one of these days we might find some solutions.
Yeah. Well, we the one thing we didn't get to today was how do you get out of the trap, but I think we don't have quite enough time to do that today, but we do in the confidence factor, and yes, Get Speaks to Women too, I go into quite a bit of depth explaining how to get out of the traps and actually and situations when we're going to be most vulnerable to falling into our trap. But I highly, you know, encourage anyone that's listening today to think about it and look into it. I know when I first started researching these way back when, I didn't think I had any of the energy traps. I thought, oh, no, that's, you know, none of those affect me. And then I worked on it a little bit harder and discovered, oh, yeah, I have a couple of these that affect me in my life. And it really can change your life. It you know, I can't emphasize that enough. And a lot of the work that we do is so much about, you know, about the sport, but it's really about the person's life as well.
And,
right,
and
that's what it comes down to. And that was the point I was trying to make is, you know, and I still have a problem. Maybe it's just I'm not smart enough. Can we motivate people? How do you activate that confidence? I think that if you don't know the individual, you don't have a snowball's chance. And it takes time. So it's, you know, people like you are so needed. And I think you have to be part of the team. I understand the schools, it's another expense. Would you tell the people, because we have to, in our next conversation a couple of months from now, we're going to have to, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, I still have 5 more questions that I didn't get to, so we have to get more on this. But
oh,
in the meantime, tell the people how to get a hold of you so they can sit there and get the books, because it's worthwhile reading. It really is.
Certainly. Simply go to yourmentalcoach.com, and that will provide you the ability to get the books easily and to contact us. My telephone number, because we're doing a lot of FaceTime sessions with people all over the country, and so 612-269-4949. Again, if we get a call or someone leaves us a message, it's 612-269-4949. We will certainly follow up with them.
Good. Well, I appreciate the two of you taking the time. Go ahead. I don't know. Go ahead.
No, not at all.
Did you have something you wanted to add?
That's how we're able to help people. A lot of times they're like, well, you know, you're on Hilton Head Island. How can we get your help? Because juniors love working on this sort of thing. And the parents simply set up FaceTime sessions, and we can do those with the juniors whenever they're available.
Right. Well, as the audience has probably figured out, I'm not going to have my commentary at the end of the show because I've run out of time. But I think it was more important, the discussion we had. And like I've said before, it isn't always, you're not going to hear my commentary all the time, and it will say, be saved. So we will talk about it. I will ask you, though, if you want to get into a discussion, please contact me at Coach Denise, that's DANISE FHSTCA@ATT.net. I do answer the emails. I don't take calls over there. I will be the next issue coming out of Florida Tennis Magazine. I will actually have a 3-piece. The next 3 issues. will be discussing some of the problems that Chuck Reese and a lot of other people brought up, some of the aggravation, let me say, with organizations. But I believe if we talk about them, we can solve some of them. So I'm going to give you my point of view. I do want to hear your point of view. And if you want to let me know there. I look forward to talking with you 2 weeks from now. The Almighty willing, we'll have Dr. Alan Fox on the broadcast. And please let me know what you want to hear. I am blessed to have Linda Neclair, Bryce Young, Chuck Reese, Coach Scott Williams, Alan Fox, Dr. John Murray. It just makes the broadcast so much better. So thank you all, and I look forward to talking with you in 2 weeks. And by the way, Bobby says, happy Easter, too. Hi.
Happy Easter.
Thank you.